Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is the University President, Dr. Bob Jones III. Today, Dr. Jones will bring part one of a message titled, Joash, the King Without Personal Convictions. The text is from 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 15 through 22.
I preached on Sunday morning at West Middletown, Pennsylvania, and I think just about every one of the students from that church, and there I think seven or eight, were home. And it was a surprise to see them there. We had a nice time. It's a wonderful church, Grace Baptist. Would you please open your Bibles this morning to 2 Chronicles 24. While you're doing that, I have an announcement to make. I mentioned the other day, after coming back from China, the great desire that the Shanghai Medical University has for nurses and English teachers from BJU to come and help their students. I mentioned that there are some young ladies who are nurses in that program that our nursing faculty and our present nursing students who are over there full-time teaching nursing and English to these nurses. Some girls have been handpicked to come to Greenville. They've been put in Christian homes. And they are in an eight-month internship with the Greenville Hospital System. And they're going to be out here a lot on campus. And I hope you will let your light shine before them, that they might know your wonderful Lord. The administration over there told me something quite significant that I failed to tell you. Let me share it with you right now. They said, do you know why we want nurses from Bob Jones University teaching our nurses over here? We've had other people from other places in America come and do teaching and whatever, but we want your people, after having seen the others, we want your students here teaching and your nurses, because we want their character to rub off on our students. We like their manner of dress. We like their manner of behavior. We like their high standards. We like the fact that they communicate well when they teach. They're polite and they're professional. And then they even said they don't sit on the corner of the desk when they teach. Well, I don't know. That must be a big thing over there. I wouldn't fault anybody here who did that. But to them, that was significant. What they were talking about was character and professionalism, life issues, if you will, not merely the academic issues. I mean, it is assumed that if somebody is a trained professional and they go to teach professionals, that they have the academic credentials to do that. But they looked way beyond that and said there are such other important things, even more important than the professional and academic credentials. It is the life credentials that your people have. Well, it is because that these people are Christians that they have these things. The president of that school and one of his associates who had, I mentioned, visited in Greenville some months back. I was not here at the time. They visited BJU and they were working out these arrangements in Greenville with the local healthcare professionals. The president of that school had done some training at LSU some years ago, Louisiana State University. He said, I visited in other American cities other than Greenville, as had my associates who were with me on that visit. But he said, you know what? We've been talking a lot since our visit about Greenville. And we have concluded that Greenville is a very special town, unlike any other American town we've ever had the privilege of visiting. And then he said, do you know why we think it's special? It's because Greenville has good churches. Now, here are unsaved people who live in a communist country, having come to a very informed, intuitive understanding that Bible-preaching churches, the people who live their lives out of those churches in a community, have a huge influence upon their surroundings. That's letting your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I say that for your encouragement and for the encouragement of the Bible-believing Christians of Greenville who may be listening by way of radio. People are watching. People with no background in Christianity are watching. And they're saying, Christians who live for Christ make a difference in their community. Well, I want to read to you some verses from 2 Chronicles 24. I'm going to start at the end of the narrative by reading these verses, and then I will go back several chapters and pick up the first of the narrative. But Jehoiada, he was the high priest. Jehoiada became old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah and made obeisance unto the king. The king is Joash. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he, that is God, sent prophets to them to bring them again to the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. The Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, which stood above the people, and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye have forsaken the Lord, he hath forsaken you. And they conspired against him, and stoned him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son, that's Zechariah. And when he died, Zechariah said, The Lord look upon it and require it. As he was dying, he said, God has taken notice that you have stoned his servant who brought his word, God's word to you. And he will require this. He will bring judgment to you because of this. Well, let's go back so we can understand what this is all about. Several chapters. Jehoshaphat, the good king of Judah, had died. His son Jehoram replaced him. Jehoram was married to the daughter of Ahab, Athaliah. I guess it's not surprising that Jehoshaphat, the good king who loved God and for the most part served God faithfully, should not be surprising, I guess, that his son married the daughter of the worst king that Israel, the northern kingdom, ever had. Because Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, had formed on two occasions alliances with the northern kingdom that God had frowned upon. One was with Ahab, the most wicked king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And then he repented of it when the prophet rebuked him for it and said, Should you help the ungodly and further their cause? And Jehoshaphat realized he had sinned against God, and he repented, and then he went all over the kingdom and asked the people of the southern kingdom of Judah to forgive him for leading them in the wrong way. That was a good thing, a noble thing, a thing of great character that Jehoshaphat did. But then later in his life, he formed another union for commercial purposes with the son of Ahab. How quickly he forgot how wrong it was to form alliances in warfare with Ahab and then to form alliances for commercial purposes with his son, both of them helping the enemies of God that God had pronounced judgments upon. He died. his son married the daughter of Ahab. Ladies and gentlemen, the alliances we form that are wrong out of the weaknesses of our own character, be they religious alliances, personal alliances, wrong friendships, wrong business relationships, when we, out of our own weakness and disobedience to God, do wrong, our children will do worse. That's a frightening thing. Somehow it's in the genes, but it's also in the observances of our children as they watch our lives and see the compromises of our lives and the sins of our lives that beset us. And then they go and do worse. They take what we have done and they multiply it. And that's what Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, the next king, did. Well, at the end of the 21st chapter, we find out that he had a terrible, incurable disease of the bowels and he died an agonizing death. And verse 20 says, he departed without being desired. He had a brief reign, I think about 8 years. And then his son, Ahaziah, his youngest son, according to chapter 22, verse 1, was made king in his place. He ruled for 1 year. His mother, Ahab's daughter, was his counselor to do wickedly, according to verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 22. And verse 4 says, he, that is Ahaziah, did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab. Compromise, idolatry, has beget idolatry. Well, he ruled a year, and he was overthrown. His mother, Athaliah, when she saw that her son was dead, verse 10 of chapter 22, arose and destroyed all the seed royal, all the royal seed of the house of Judah. Evidently, she killed her grandsons so they could not reach them. This woman had no heart. She was an evil beast. A devil incarnate. She even killed her own grandchildren. And she took the throne. And for 6 years, the usurper, an evil woman, ruled Judah. But there was one son that was hidden. Because God had promised that there would not lack an heir of David to sit upon his throne forever. And Jehoiada the priest, who was married to Athaliah's daughter, whose brother Ahaziah the king, after 1 year, had died. Jehoiada the priest and his wife, the daughter of Athaliah, hid Joash in the temple for 6 years from the wrath of Athaliah. All the other grandchildren had been killed. But this boy had been preserved. His uncle and his aunt preserved him. And then in the seventh year, Jehoiada, the high priest who had hidden Joash, it says in chapter 23, verse 1, strengthened himself. He took soldiers. He took Levites. He armed them. And he arranged for Joash to be crowned king. And verse 11 of chapter 23 says, they anointed him king and said, God save the king. Athaliah heard it. She called treason, treason. She was cast out and she was murdered. And now her son, this boy that had been spared, Joash, at the age of 7, became the king. Verse 1 of chapter 24 says he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. That's the narrative. That's the background. It's taken most of our time this morning. But I had to do that for us to understand the theme of the message. Joash was a king whose convictions belonged to another, Jehoiada the priest. He was a weak king who ruled for 40 years without any convictions of his own. And verse 2 says he did what was right in the sight of the Lord as long as Jehoiada the priest had some convictions that were right and lived to help prop this weak king up. Who's propping you up? Or do your own convictions based on the Word of God prop you up? If you are propped up by the convictions of another, as Joash was propped up by the convictions of Jehoiada, you will collapse in the end just as Joash did. That's the theme I want to develop with you because I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned about how you're going to live this Christmas. I'm concerned about you graduating seniors, how you're going to live in the aftermath of graduation and the rest of your life as it unfolds. Are you a strong Christian who has his devotions, who worships the Lord in prayer, who goes out and tries to get the gospel to others, who attends a good Bible preaching church, who stands established in your worldview and your lifestyle because you come from a good Christian home or you have a good pastor or youth pastor or because you have been propped up by BJU. And so you have gotten in the flow of all of this and you have done all of these things. And it would appear, because you are that living that way, that you are someone who loves Jesus Christ and honors Him with your life. It would appear that you do. But the truth will be told when there's nobody anymore to prop you up. When you graduate, chances are you will not go back to mommy and daddy. I hope not. You're a big boy or a big girl now. You've been trained to go out and serve God somewhere in some walk of life, in His calling, in His will. Who's going to prop you up? Who's going to keep you from collapsing spiritually? It will either be your Bible-based convictions that you live before God, or like Joash, you'll crumble. You'll get in the flow of everything that is wrong religiously and culturally. You'll fall in the hands of the wrong crowd, and you'll be just as weak and devilish and God-hating as they are. Joash had no convictions of his own, and he had no character of his own. I will develop this tomorrow from the Scripture, but I hope it gets hold of your heart. Because some of you are headed to collapse. Some of you have adapted to what BJU believes and practices. You wanted to stay here, you had no choice. But it's not real for you. Your heart is just as godless. Your practices are just as carnal. Your love of the world is just as great as anybody in any secular educational institution of America. When you're out from under the influence of this place, you live just the kind of heathen life they live. Because you don't have any convictions. You've joined the flow. You've wanted the good academics. You're going to take that and run with it and betray Jesus Christ in your life. You're hypocrites who do that. You're traitors to Jesus Christ who do that. You're dishonest. You've pretended to be something all these 4 years that you aren't. You don't have any Bible convictions. You've pretended to, but you're weak. Or you're deliberately dishonest. I don't think Joash was deliberately dishonest. He was weak. As long as the priest, Jehoiada, his mentor, his uncle, this God-fearing man was there, he was a godly man. But it all changed when the mentor died. There was nobody to prop him up anymore. What's going to happen when there's nobody there telling you what is right, insisting that you do what is right, holding you accountable for what is right? What's going to happen when there's nobody there to do that? Will you do what is right? You already know the answer to that. Those of us who know you don't know the answer to that. You can be sure everybody will find out, because they'll have a chance to see the outcome. We'll continue this tomorrow. Let's stand, shall we, with our heads bowed. Lord, search our hearts. See if there be any wicked way in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III. For a cassette tape containing both parts of the message, Joash, the King Without Personal Convictions, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.